heart there blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on him. It matter not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want the world to know your Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
You have probably heard the story before. A great story, makes a powerful point. Came from Ken Miller's book, Connecting with God. And the story goes simply like this. There was a small town in rural America, and they did not have, they were a dry town. They didn't have any establishments that sold alcohol. And much to the displeasure of certainly the church in town, a man came in and he bought a building and he converted it and opened up a nightclub. And so the church was trying to figure out their response. What should they do in light of what was going on? And so they decided that they were going to hold a prayer vigil and they were going to pray. And when they gathered together that night and they prayed a while, they finally decided what they were going to do was they were going to pray that the nightclub burned to the ground. And so they began to pray that indeed that it would just burn down and just it would be gone. And a little after midnight, the thunderstorm rolled through, lightning struck the place, and it burnt to the ground. Now the nightclub owner found out about the prayer meeting. And he found out what the church had prayed. And he sued them. He sued them because they were responsible for his loss. Now, the church vehemently denied any and all responsibility. It wasn't their fault. And when the judge was rendering his decision about responsibility or not, he said, before I tell you whether I believe the church responsible, I can say this. And he said, I want to say this. It is absolutely clear to me that the nightclub owner believes in the power of prayer, and the church does not. I suspect we will say and continue to say throughout the years that prayer is important and that prayer is powerful. That is what we say. And maybe even what we want to believe. But I believe that the church that Miller wrote about in his book, well, it wasn't the first time that the church has prayed for something and then when the answer came was totally surprised that it did. If you were to read the story in the book of Acts, the 12th chapter, you're going to find a story about Peter. And King Herod had already killed one of the disciples. And everybody seemed to like it, so he arrested Peter. Hey, this is good. One's good. Two's going to be better. And so as Peter is in jail and awaiting truly his execution, the church gets together at John Mark's mother's house, and they begin to pray for Peter's release. And they pray, and all of a sudden there's a at the door, and the servant girl goes to the door, and she opens the door, and you got a picture. I mean, there's Peter. I mean, you know the story. The angel came and delivered him from prison, and there he's standing right at the door, and she gets so excited. It's Peter. Can't you see it? She slams the door in his face and runs back to tell the others and leaves him standing there on the outside. And she goes back, and she says, it's Peter. He's at the door. And they said, No, I'm telling you, it's Peter. Can't be Peter. No, I'm telling you, Peter's at the door. It's not Peter because Peter's in jail. But what have you been praying for, church? We talk about it. But do we really believe it? Now the last thing that Paul stressed in our fight, and you got to understand that it is a fight. And we should never underestimate the fight that we are in. And I'll tell you, it hurts to get hit. And Satan's out there and he's firing darts at us and he's throwing haymakers at us. And in our struggle, said Paul, in fact, I don't think that's a strong enough word of translation there. In our struggle, no, it really is a word for hand-to-hand wrestling and combat. That's the word Paul used. So in our hand-to-hand wrestling combat with Satan, Paul said that the only way that we are able to make a stand against Satan, and the only way to keep him from pinning our shoulders to the mat, is if we are going to start to believe in the power of prayer. He said, and pray. And after he'd said it all, he said, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray. See, that's the only way that our spiritual armor is ever going to come together. Now, prayer is never a substitute for doing. It is prayer that guides us in what we do. And I believe it is through prayer that we find the strength to do it. I believe in prayer. I don't understand everything about it. But what I do know is this. When God's people pray with an air of intensity and anticipation, things begin to happen. When we pray like that, the church is filled with power because we are touched and moved by the Holy Spirit. I believe with James that the prayer of a righteous man, and I'll say it, and a woman, the prayer of God's righteous people availeth much. Why? Because God cares about us so much that he listens to our prayers. Now, some people, they think God doesn't care about them and God doesn't listen to them, but they're wrong. God has over and over in Scripture said how that his heart breaks when people day after day reject his love and leave him out of their lives. If you were to read the Old Testament minor prophet Hosea, you would find through that prophet God's great love for Israel and how that they kept spurning that love and turning away from that love. And at one point, through the prophet, God said, when Israel was a child, I loved him and I brought him out of Egypt. I called him my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to other gods and they burned incense to other images. But it was I who taught them how to walk. It was me that took them into my arms, but they didn't realize that it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of kindness and with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them, but they did not care. See, God cares. And because God cares, God hears us. When God called Moses through the burning bush, do you remember what he said? I have heard the cries of my people. God heard, and he said, Moses, I want you to go and get them out because they're in anguish. See, the prayers of God's people availeth much. They're powerful and effective. Now, it doesn't mean, by the way, that God will grant our every wish. In fact, probably the opposite is more true. God loves us so much that God doesn't give us everything that we ask for in prayer. God did not grant to Paul the removal of the thorn in the flesh. Now, Paul begged him, he said, three times. But God said, no, Paul, I'm not going to do it because I'm going to give you grace, and grace is even going to be better and stronger than your thorn in the flesh. Sometimes we just ask for things that are not good for us on top of it. Sometimes we're kind of like the little boy. And he's at the foot of his bed. It's nighttime and he's saying his prayers and his mother's in there with him. And of course he goes through the things. God bless my mommy. God bless my daddy. And he goes through his litany of things and he ends with the line, and God, please, please make Boulder, Colorado the capital. Amen. And his mother, a little bit shocked, said, well, son, why did you pray that Boulder be the capital of Colorado? He said, because that's what I put on my test. See, sometimes we just ask for things that cannot be. All right? But God still cares for us. And God hears us when we pray because, well, when we really come to him with intensity, that means we've opened ourselves up to God. and God connects to us. See, that's the type of prayer. That's the way we stand strong in His mighty power. Intensity is passion, and it is force. See, that's the way to pray rather than mumbling a few quick lines in the moment. We just sang Sweet Hour of Prayer, but when's the last time any of us spent an hour in prayer? Don't we really mumble a few lines and tack on those three words in Jesus' name and move on into our day in the hopes that somehow they've made a difference? Now, we absolutely need to pray in Jesus' name, but just by mumbling Jesus' name, that don't cut it. That's not what Jesus meant anyway. Intensity. See, that drives us to come to God and to hold absolutely nothing back. It was with intensity that Moses prayed for the Hebrews. Now, you know, we read through Exodus and God brought them out like God said. And at the Mount Sinai, God said, look, I'm going to be your God and you can be my people. And they said, yes, hooray for God, we'll be your people. And God said, okay, Moses, you come up on this mountain and I'm going to define for you what it means to be my people. And he's up there about 40 days and they think something's happened to him. In fact, they think maybe he's even dead or he's just not coming back. And so what do? They've just pledged their undying loyalty to God and to God alone. But what do? They have Aaron make a golden calf for them, explicitly what they weren't supposed to do. And if you read the scripture, it says God got mad about it. In fact, God said, that's it. You know what? I'm just going to wipe them out and we'll start fresh, Moses. But we're told that Moses sought the favor of the Lord. And he said, Lord, he basically said, Lord, just don't do it. Relent. Don't do it. Why should the Egyptians say you got him out here just to destroy him? Don't do it. And at the end of the prayer, it said, and the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Wow. Intense prayers. They're powerful and they make a difference. Another night, this time I imagine it was cool. There may have been a light fog in the air or a heavy dew on the ground, but with intensity, Jesus prayed. Now, he told the disciples they too ought to pray with some intensity, but instead of praying, they went to sleep. Didn't have very good results, by the way. But it says that Jesus went a little bit further and he fell down to the ground with his face and said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not what I will, your will be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And he got up off of that ground and he went to Calvary. And at Calvary, he defeated all of our sin. That prayer of intensity made a difference. And you say, but you know, that's Bible stuff. Those are Bible stories and they're powerful, but do they really resonate with us today? Well, I don't know. I can tell you about another man by the name of Benjamin Kowashi, I believe is his name. He's Nigerian, a church leader in Nigeria. He's at the church. He's there when a group of militant Islamic rebels come storming into the church, and he knows what's about to happen. And folks, because of the news, we know what was about to happen to him. And so he asked them very quick, can I read from my holy book one last time and say a prayer? And they said, yes. And what he read was from the 124th Psalm. He said, if the Lord had not been on our side when evil men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. And then he dropped literally to his knees and he began to pray. And he said it wasn't one of those prayers that he had repeated many times. He was praying because he knew he was praying for his head. And he prayed. And finally, when he couldn't think of anything else to say, he said amen and he began to open his eyes a little bit. And they were gone. See, the prayer of intensity makes a difference, folks. Maybe if we prayed with a little bit more intensity, like our lives were on the line, or maybe if we prayed a little more intensity, like the lives of our children were on the line, Maybe if we opened ourselves up a little more, maybe we too would become a part of seeing the prayer make a difference. Look, we face challenges every day for sure. And our victory comes only on the heels of prayer. Through prayer, we are prepared to stand, like Paul said. He said, when you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. And we stand firm, and in that, as we stand firm, we are there to proclaim. Well, we stand in the truth. We stand in God's righteousness, the way God wants things to be. We stand to proclaim the gospel of peace. We stand in the assurance of our salvation. We stand behind our faith, and we stand on the living Word of God. Paul told the Romans, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. He told the Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And unto the Ephesians, Paul had already said in his prayer, look, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his great power which is at work within us. Sounds to me like a lot of really good reasons to pray. I don't know everything there is to know about prayer, but I do know that as God's people, we should be known as a praying people. I do know that God answers prayers. I know that prayer makes a difference. I know in prayer there's times that God's presence is so real and so powerful, it literally overshadows what's going on around me. I know that in prayer, God gives grace, guidance, and strength. And I know that when it comes to our fight with Satan, he hates it when we pray. William Cowper said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest of saints upon his knees. Corrie ten Boom said, when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs, but when he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. Samuel Chadwick said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. And I know this about prayer. It's something we got to learn to do. See, it's something that we learn as we do. It's kind of like riding a bicycle. You can read all the books you want about riding a bicycle, but if you never go out there and put yourself up on it and try to pedal, you're not going to learn. So don't just think about how you need to pray more. Pray. Don't just read books on prayer and its power and its value, but pray. Don't just wish, oh Lord, I wish I had a stronger prayer life. Well, pray. And if you're one of those people who say, you know, I pray, but I pray when I really feel it. Well, then I'm telling you, feel it all the time. Because Paul said, pray without ceasing. God hears our cries when we call out to him, and he cares about us. And for us as a church, if we're going to stand up and if we're going to stand firm, if we're going to put on the full armor of God, it means that we first got to get down upon our knees and pray. Look, for 8 weeks, we have looked at our spiritual armor that Paul outlined for us. We've talked about this fight for the souls of people, and I am clearly convinced that Satan is more concerned about the eternal destiny of people than many churches today. I think he's trying harder to win them than sometimes the church is trying to lead them to Jesus. But here's what I know. That God has provided everything that we need in order to go forth with a great and powerful message. Will we stand firm in the Lord and in his mighty power? You know the text for this morning. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Stand with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. Lord, this morning we come and we'll just confess to you, our prayer lives haven't been what they should be, and they probably won't be what they ought to be tomorrow, but Lord, help us to do better. Lord, help us to realize today that as you call out to us through your Holy Spirit, that you're simply offering yourself to us, and that if we will in prayer open ourselves to you, holding nothing back, that Lord, our prayer time will not be mundane, but it will become powerful. Our prayer time with you will not be something that we simply hurry through, but it will be something that we take our time to spend with you so that you'll speak to us. We believe that you are at work, not only in our church, but in our community, and we want to be a part of it, Lord. And we believe and know it starts with prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name and His alone. Amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
As we stand together to sing our closing number, I want to reiterate something that was briefly mentioned this morning in some of our previous statements, and that is that yesterday I did receive a call requesting our church does pray for Mrs. Neela Hall Hopper, who is at the St. Thomas Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. They believe our church believes in prayer, and so they ask our church to pray particularly that God would bless in her time of medical attention. And as we sing this song, particularly for our own selves, if God has spoken to your heart about your prayer life, perhaps, not that it's not there, but perhaps not in the intensity that the pastor spoke about, and you'd like to come to this altar and say, Lord, from here on, make me be a greater prayer warrior. We invite you to come and just say, Lord, make me that kind of prayer warrior that will move the powers of darkness to light in Christ Jesus. Number 428, I need thee every hour. Verse number 3, let us read it together, because it talks about needing him and acknowledging him in every circumstance of life. Let's read together. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is in vain. I need thee. As we close in our benedictory chorus, again, let us continue to pray one for another, that the power of God may rest upon us. In my life, Lord, be glorified, and in thy church together singing. Again, may God bless you, and you are dismissed.